Thank you for the presentation, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to talk about impact and fatigue in composite material during my presentation. So I will start with impact damage. And I assume we are all familiar with the impact damage in composite material. But I want to focus the first slide on a couple of features that we observed in impact damage in our tests. So on the picture on the left, you see an EcoPulse scan of low velocity impact damage that we obtain. And the first thing that I want to show is that we have multiple delamination in different interfaces. And sometimes they're growing one on top of each other. The second aspect, and you see the picture on the right, is a through thickness transmission scan. And here you see that we observed an area with little delamination. And this was reported in the literature before, sometimes. And it is due to the compressive stress that arises during the impact, during the contact with the impactor. So we have this very complex impact damage. Of course, it consists of other damage modes that we are not showing here. But this damage can grow under compression fatigue. And one thing that was done in the past to monitor this impact damage was to individuate an area, which is the projected delaminated area. This is, of course, underestimating the total delamination because we have delamination growing one on top of each other. But it is a metric that was used in the past to evaluate the damage severity. So, So in previous studies, monitoring of projected delamination area was performed under compression fatigue. And there is a first class of studies that individuated no growth of this projected area for the entire fatigue life, followed by very fast failure. Then there is a second class of study that showed that there was an initial growth followed by some sort of plateau in which there was no growth, followed then by a fast and unstable growth. And then there is a third class of studies that showed a more gradual propagation. So the question we had at the beginning of this study was to understand why there was this apparent discrepancy and what happens in particular in the first cases where we don't see growth for a large part of the fatigue life. And so in our lab, we perform low velocity impact with the traditional, with the ASTM standard and compression fatigue after impact test in full compression with different load levels applied. And we applied three different monitoring strategies. So we applied EcoPulse ultrasound, we applied through thickness transmission, and we also applied acoustic emissions. So a first thing, I'm going to present some key results from this experimental investigation. The first thing that we found out is that, at least in our test, the growth inside the non-delaminated cone must be considered. And I have two reasons for that. The first one is that we actually saw that happening. So there was, at the beginning, there was a growth inside the non-delaminated area, followed by a transverse growth outside of the projected area. And the second reason is that this may seem a very small growth in size, but this is actually relevant because it can cause a change of the local buckling of the sublaminate. A second observation that we saw in our test, this time with the EcoPulse scan system, was that there was, at the initial stages of fatigue, the preferential growth of short delaminations. And this growth was falling inside the projected area. And then this type of growth was followed by unstable growth in the transverse 90 degrees direction. So a first thing that we can say is that growth of projected area is not sufficient to describe fatigue damage growth. And that is because for large part of fatigue life, the damage is propagating inside the damage envelope. But we were not satisfied with that because, first of all, ultrasound scan has limitations. One of them is that we are not able to see shadowed delamination, so delamination placed below other delaminations. Then we can all, there are other damage modes that we are not able to see. And there's the third thing that we can only perform ultrasound inspection at certain frames. So we don't know what happens between two inspections. So we wanted also to apply a real-time monitoring strategy. So we decided to use acoustic emission. And here I'm not going to present in detail this, but we performed some preliminary study to try to separate damage mode with acoustic emission. And this is to we found with some in the result that there was a reasonable frequency separation between certain damage modes, in particular between matrix cracking and fiber damage. But we applied acoustic emission technique monitoring throughout the entire fatigue test. And what we observe in the left side of the graph, you see the frequency of these of all the events throughout the test, and on the right, the localization, because we use two sensors and we were able to localize the events in at least one-dimensional localization. And one thing is that if we compare with the ultrasound scan, we see that at the beginning, when we don't see any type of growth with the C-scan, we actually have a non-negligible acoustic emission activity. So this suggests that no growth in the C-scan doesn't mean that we are not having that much growth. So that's we have two possible explanations, in my opinion, for these initial acoustic emissions. We could have shadow delamination that we are not able to detect with the ultrasound, or we could also have transverse matrix cracking growth. And that is because of the low frequency content of these events. So now we have a sort of timeline of damage in our test. So we started with probably intralaminar matrix cracking or shadow delamination, but with acoustic emissions of low frequency. Then we have a phase where we observe the short delamination growth inside the damage area and the growth inside the impact cone. And then this was followed by an unstable growth outside of the projected area, leading to the final failure. And it's interesting to observe that the first phase, it's actually a phase in which the damage is changing inside the projected area. So we have to really take into account this transformation inside the damage. But how are these results general? Because it's for our specific test, our type of impact, our impact energy. So it's very specific. So one interesting thing is that we observe very similar qualitative growth for long life and short life fatigue. So these are two ultrasound scans at more than 95% of fatigue life just before failure of two different load levels, compression. And we have a very good match between the two, two delamination envelopes. This suggests that we have a similar qualitative damage propagation. But OK, it's still really a specific type of fixture. And so coming back to the original question in the title, so we tried to compare our results to some previous tests that were performed in the literature that used a slightly different type of fixture. And we observed that actually there are, for example, removing the lateral edges, we have a very different type of delamination propagation. So we have, for example, growth in the loading direction, while in our test, we consistently observe, regardless of the load level, growth in the 90 degrees direction. And also in studies that had a more elongated shape of the specimen. So we know that probably, in most of the cases, real structure are different from the test setup that we used. And that is because we don't have anti-bucking guides in most of the cases. We can have multi-directional loading, and we can have large structures compared to the impact damage. So coming back to the original question, is this test representative of real structure? Probably not, but we were still able to draw some interesting conclusion from this test. And so the fact that combining multiple techniques allowed to have a better understanding of how the damage propagates. So the fact that during large part of fatigue, we have actually a transformation that is happening inside the impact damage, at least in compression. And we also observe, three phenomena, that is the growth in the non-delaminated cone, the growth of short delamination, and this low-frequency acoustic event during early stage of fatigue. But these results are highly dependent on the adopted test fixture, and this we saw by comparing our result to previous literature. So then a suggestion for future work is to perform similar analysis with a less standard type of fixture to try to understand if some qualitative trends are similar and perform the same type of combination of inspection techniques. So that's it. Thank you for the attention.
Okay, thank you very much. So now we have time for a couple of questions. Yes, we have one there.
Thank you for the presentation. I was wondering, with the acoustic emission data that you showed, whether you considered whether there could be any noise due to friction between the layers?
Yeah, so thanks. That's an excellent question. I will go back to the... Oh, I think something happened. Yeah, okay. So we perform different filtering strategies. So the first one was adopting a wavelet filter. Then we perform localization, and that was second. At least we exclude the fiction, some type of non-related to damage aspect. But to exclude the friction, so the only type of filtering that I applied was the assumption that damage-generated waveform are like burst type of waveforms, while friction is a more continuous type of waveform. So I decided to apply a wavelet filter because that is can allow to separate burst type signal. But honestly, this is still an open question. It's difficult to be 100% sure that you are able to do that. So.
Okay, thank you. So we have one more question.
Could I just add? What I was talking about was friction in the composite itself.
Okay.
So for example, if you have a delamination already present, yeah, then you could get, if you're fatiguing it, you would get friction between the plies.
Yeah, that honestly is very difficult to separate. Because in the preliminary test, we weren't able to separate this kind of phenomena.
No worries.
And impact damage is also very complex, so you're going to have...
Just to continue the same question, have you tried to segment the different damage mechanism, considering not only the frequency, but other descriptors, such as the amplitude or the energy or duration? For instance, friction, you have low energy and long duration, fiber failure, it's the opposite. Did you try to segment in another way?
So what we tried to do was combine time and frequency domain signal with a continuum wavelet analysis. And we perform just with the preliminary test, we saw that actually in this specific case, frequency seemed to be a good indicator to separate matrix crack from fiber failures. And this is, for the sake of this presentation, it's enough. But then we are planning to do a more detailed study to try to separate more damage mode and to see more details. So that's actually an excellent question, and it's something we want to focus in later stages, because we are not satisfied with just this type of separation. This was just to show qualitative that at the beginning something is happening in the damage area, but we plan to do something more detailed, actually. So.
May I just another quick one? You mentioned to go further to better understand how the material is going to damage. Since you use the experimental device that you use, allow to use, for instance, digital image correlation to observe also the local buckling, considering with two cameras, the out-of-plane displacement. It is something that you have planned to do, or...?
Yeah, we are planning to do that. For now, we did only acoustic emission. We have some DIC results. Unfortunately, we weren't able to see, for example, the changing from two half buckles to a single local buckling. And it could be because this phenomenon, this growth is happening more inside the composite, so you don't see that much effect on the surface. Or we are planning more tests. We are also planning to have like some section and microscopy to see the propagation. But yeah, we also use DIC. But for now, it's just to see that we don't have like global buckling to see if everything was working correctly. But this is something we plan to do actually.
Okay, thank you. One last question here.
Great stuff. So C-scans only have the ability to quantify delaminations, as previous people have said, but also compression has really unique things in terms of like shear bands, because that is the ultimate failure. It seems to be very localized in the specific area, which is indicating certain mechanisms of failure that may not be so delaminated driven. I'm wondering, do you have a methodology to kind of differentiate between what mechanism could be?
So that, for that reason as well, we decided to use acoustic emissions, because we were trying to get also this type of information. But that's actually very difficult. So we perform a lot of these preliminary tests, like with 90-oriented ply, 0-oriented ply, to try to separate this damage mode. It's actually more difficult than expected. So we tried to do that. It's not easy, but I, at least refining acoustic emission analysis, we try to achieve also that kind of knowledge. But
okay, thank you very much. Let's thank the speaker again.
Thank you.